WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. President Trump says it's about taking out drug runners. Venezuela's leaders say it's about taking out them. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio says the president is okay with CIA operations in Venezuela and may carry out strikes.
Venezuela's foreign ministry saying this type of maneuver aims to legitimize a regime change operation as its ultimate goal of having access to Venezuelan oil resources. It comes after the U.S. carried out its fifth deadly strike on an alleged drug smuggling boat off Venezuela.
The sheriff in Humphreys County, Tennessee, says his best friend was one of the victims of last week's explosion that leveled a munitions factory. Today, all 16 victims have been identified, and they're still looking for the cause. Diane Keaton's death last weekend was first reported by People magazine, which today quotes the actress's family as saying the cause of death was pneumonia. The Oscar winner was 79. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The federal government has been shut down for more than 2 weeks now, and that could impact Wisconsinites facing hunger. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Wisconsin officials are being told to hold off on sending out next month's food benefits. A new letter from the U.S. Department of Agriculture warns the state not to process November SNAP payments yet. The department says the money for the program only lasts through October unless the shutdown ends. It could impact thousands of Wisconsin families who rely on the benefits. The USDA says they're working on plans in case the shutdown continues.
Data from Feeding America shows 1 in 10 Wisconsinites and 1 in 6 Wisconsin kids face food insecurity. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is reportedly planning to cancel $1.5 billion going to Wisconsin companies for clean energy initiatives. A leaked document from the Department of Energy shows they're planning to cancel about $16 billion approved last year by the Biden administration. That money was set to go toward companies and projects with clean energy goals. Harley-Davidson was set to get $89 million to develop electric motorcycles. Madison-based nonprofit Slipstream is supposed to get almost $12 million for multiple projects, including making some Madison buildings able to adapt to their energy needs. And Wisconsin Power and Light is supposed to get $50 million to upgrade the electrical grid in rural areas and $30 million to build a first-of-its-kind powered storage system in Columbia County. Governor Tony Evers has written a letter to the Department of Energy pushing for them to keep these grants and loans. He says these projects build energy independence and create jobs, all while advocacy group Energy Innovation found that the average Wisconsinite will pay an extra $300 in energy bills each year by 2035 because of Republicans' Big Beautiful Bill passed in July. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
Game 3 for the Brewers and Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers and Dodgers battling to advance to the World Series next week, continuing tonight in Los Angeles. Second baseman Bryce Turang on Milwaukee being down 2-0.
We know where we're at, and we know what we got to do, and I trust these guys in the locker room to figure it out, and we got a good group of guys, and we've fought all year, so I think heading to L.A., I mean, we know what we got to do.
How tough have the Dodgers pitchers been? The Brewers, Jake Bowers.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are dialed in right now. Seems like you can go an entire game without seeing a pitch over the heart of the plate, so obviously that's tough, but that being said, we got to take it with upon ourselves to try and do something to disrupt their timing and get them a little bit more uncomfortable on the mound.
Football, the Wisconsin Badgers are 2-4, and it doesn't get any easier. They host Ohio State, the number one ranked team in the nation, kickoff at 2:30 Saturday in Madison. The Packers are in Arizona on Sunday against the Cardinals at 3:25. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few isolated showers around today, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid-60s. An isolated shower possible tonight, Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the mid to upper 50s. Mostly cloudy, but warm for mid-October on Friday with highs in the mid-70s. Right now, 53 degrees.
No fear here, just monster savings at Verlo Mattress of Madison. This October, the only thing creeping near your bed is a deal too good to miss. We custom make every mattress so you know exactly what's inside. No tricks, just treats. Save hundreds on mattresses, foundations, headboards, sheets, and more. Monster savings at Verlo Mattress of Madison. Upgrade your bedroom and unleash the sleep of your dreams. American made, locally crafted, Verlo. Hurry in before these monster savings vanish. Verlo Mattress of Madison.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from WXCO in Wausau, Wisconsin for their open house. Chad Holmes from XCO as long, as well as Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area on Politics. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
WMDX Madison, where the cheese is sharp and the vibes are chill.
Good morning.
Well, I guess that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah. Rise and shine. Yeah. Shake a leg. Up and at 'em. Top of the morning to you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man.
It's Thursday.
The world's falling apart around us as we speak, you know. I mean, you know, they're looking at Venezuela now. They're sending the CIA into Venezuela for some reason. You know, they used to take down countries with the CIA. So it's not good news. Remember the Jackals? There was a book, The Jackals, and it talked about how the CIA went into these countries and took out their leaders, killed them.
Yeah. And they're going after some more boats out there, just firing at will. Yes. Just, you know.
And we're supposed to take their word that these are drug smugglers, which no one is going to believe anymore. Yeah. I mean, look how they lie about the protesters and the confrontations that they're having with them. Even judges in this country no longer believe the administration when they claim, well, they're being harassed and doxxed. And there's no proof of it. There's nothing out there that can prove their point, and the judges are catching on to this, except for the Supreme Court. They love rolling over for the president.
And over in the Mideast, Trump is telling CNN that Israeli forces could resume fighting in Gaza as soon as he gives the word. If Hamas won't uphold the ceasefire deal. There's already been some skirmishes. There's already been some stuff.
I know. This was just a ceasefire. This wasn't a peace. And that's why he didn't deserve the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
No matter how many plaques he gets, no matter how many framed commitments from other world leaders that he should get the peace prize.
Right.
I've never seen anything so stupid as what's going on now, trying to appease this orange muffin that we have in the White House.
And the shutdown.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps.
Oh, yes. Beware of the blob.
The wall, right through the door, all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob.
Oh, yeah. And that's where we're referring to him now as a blob.
Yeah. And it's day 16 of the shutdown. And government is still shut down.
Yep.
So those are some of the headlines.
Just some. But here's the big story. And I got this from, I don't know how I managed to get on the email list, but this is from Liz Lenz. And her email letter is called Men Yell at Me. Okay. So
okay.
So I don't know how I got on this thing. Maybe I was, you know, in a more women's lib movement at the time. I don't know. You know, just a mood. But anyway, she's had some interesting, fun stuff to talk about, and she talked about the way Portland is dealing with ICE. And sometimes she says the best way to counteract a false narrative is to put on a frog costume, get out in the street, and dance.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, wow. Dance. That's what it's all
why
about.
Why not?
Get out there, dance.
Yes.
So anyway, in the face of the president's lies, she writes, protesters in Portland have donned inflatable costumes and held dance parties. It's hard to manipulate images of person dancing in a puffy unicorn outfit into something fearsome and scary.
Right.
And that's true, isn't it?
It is.
A video on X of a dinosaur, unicorn, raccoon, and bear dancing to a hit song was posted with the caption, "Let's check in on the war zone in Portland." Even Fox News had a problem addressing this issue. They noted that bare-assed bikers were driving through the rain as part of the protest. How do you change that, right? Yeah. And then they had the naked protest as well, the die-in. Last week, Kristi Noem was staring down Antifa at the top of a building. Remember that? Where she was looking down a couple of reporters out there in the street and a guy in a chicken suit, right? And she writes here, it was the chicken costume that helped that story go viral to counteract the right-wing narrative.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the costumes. I didn't think about this. You know, France shuts down the economy. Well, we could just wear costumes at our protests, right?
We should open up a costume company. That's what we should do. Just jump on this thing. We
can Antifa costume.
Yes. Got to workshop that.
We'll send a letter to George Soros. He's funding all this, I hear.
Yeah,
sure. One of the frog-clad protesters told a reporter, "I'm out here protesting in a frog costume, especially in a frog costume, to show how ridiculous the notion that we are violent terrorists is."
Yeah.
As one user said, "This is a wildly effective form of protest because there is no way you can claim the unicorn-suited person twerking is a violent revolutionary who needs to be pepper-sprayed." Without looking insane, of course.
All right.
You know? The ridiculous contrast between propaganda and reality is harder to ignore when animal costumes are involved. And I think that is a true statement from Liz Lenz and her email letter, "Men Yell at Me."
That's great. Hey, let's go to the phones, 608-879-8255. Mark is on the line. Mark, you coming to the No Kings protest? You going to dress up as something? You got a costume you can wear?
Guy Fawkes, right?
What do you think?
I got my Guy Fawkes mask. I'll probably wear that, and I'll be on the bridge there, you know, across the Wisconsin River in Sauk Sioux. I think last time there was 400 people there on the bridge. They're saying that. I thought it was only 200, but I heard it was more than that.
That's the place to do it there in Sauk City. Yep.
A reference for V for Vendetta is, "A revolution without dancing is a revolution not worth having." And
Really? That's from
it's made by somebody. I think it was a different woman had made that comment, but during World War, against Hitler.
Wow. Okay.
Or against fascists. Maybe it was in Italy. But,
well, it's working again.
But that it was comforting yesterday in some aspects that Malcolm Nance was on Stephanie Miller, and he described Kristi Noem once again as a puppy killer. And he says, every time you reference her, you just got to call her a puppy killer. And that's kind of what I've been doing because I'm a big dog fan, and that's just nothing you brag about. I mean, it is just nothing you do and nothing you brag about. And that's sick.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Explicit deleted here.
The whole thing is, too, the fact that she killed her pet, that's the kind of person that's in control of a certain aspect of government, which we don't want to see. Okay, this is not what we want to see from one of the department heads, somebody who has the ability to do that conscience-free, right?
And I don't think we've ever seen any, the division she's in charge of. I don't think we've ever seen the head of that organization heading out and going to all the sites where they're having operations. I mean, the whole cosplay element of this is twisted.
Yeah, you don't want to see the Homeland Security head of Homeland Security dressed in cosplay constantly, right? Yeah.
Mark, thank you for that call. Again, 608-879-8255.
And Catherine says, I think the quote about dancing was Kevin Bacon in Footloose. Possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
I got another little addition here. George Soros funded No King's Day. All right. Mm. More cliches to come here.
Really?
Terrence Williams, a comedian and founder of Cousins Tea, which I have no idea what that is, wrote this about his beloved orange babbling blob.
Oh, really? The blob?
Beware of the blob. It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door, all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch. Be careful of the blob.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, that's number one on the John and Gordy hit list.
It's Terrence Williams. He's a conservative, and this is what he wrote. 10 million protesters. Let's be honest. The people planning this No Kings protest on October 18th aren't exactly the backbone of America. Really? They aren't? I thought they were. These are the same. Okay, get this. Here we got all the cliches coming up. Okay. These are the same jobless, woke, lazy, attention-hungry activists who spend more time shouting in the streets than working to make this country better.
Okay.
What about all the people that showed up for these rallies?
Yeah, right.
And spent days camping out at the rallies.
Yes.
Are they lazy? Are they jobless? Are they attention-hungry activists? I think so. Hell, they wore diapers to support Trump. My God. And, he also writes here, now they're promising 10 million protesters across the nation and all to oppose Donald Trump, his supporters, and anyone who believes in law, order, and ICE. who knew that those were the high points? Law, order, and ICE. Mm. Thank you very much. He says they call it No Kings, but it's really just another anti-Trump tantrum disguised as a movement. In my opinion, this is another Soros-funded stunt designed to divide the country and demonize hardworking Americans who still love their country. No, we love our country so much, we want to save it from a dictatorship, from a fascist. He also writes, they hate Trump because he exposed how fake their power really is. They don't want freedom. They want control. And that's why, my God, this is so much projection.
Wow.
And that's why real Americans are standing stronger than ever. Oh, by the way, I just want to throw in here that Terrence Williams, he's a comedian. Doesn't sound very funny. And he also has a new children's book. it's called The Little Kid Who Can. Okay. Mm. You know, it's odd, though, right? Didn't Kash Patel have children's books,
too? I think so, yeah.
Right. What is this preoccupation with children?
Well,
right? It's always, you know, we got to save the children, child groomers. Yeah. Everything is child related. We got to save the children in the schools.
Well, we want to start the indoctrination program early.
And now,
nursery school.
Now his new book, The Little Kid Who Can.
Yeah.
Now, how nice. All right.
When are we coming out with the John and Gordy Children's Library?
Oh, yes, we should. Yeah. Yes.
Got to work on that.
Yeah. We'll have that on the shelves soon. along with the Let's Go Back To series of books.
Let's Go Back To Cursive. Yes, that one's out there. We got that out there. We still have it available on the Facebook page or on
is
the
that
website
still up there?
Yeah, it should still be up on the Facebook
page. Yeah, you might want to check that out.
Put it out there again.
Yeah. There's a storybook there about going back to cursive.
Really promoting that.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's got to. We don't want to lose cursive.
Well, I thought we jumped on that bandwagon a little too soon. It didn't quite catch on like we thought it would.
Hasn't taken off.
And neither has the book.
Yeah.
So
well, it's got really good illustrations, though. I mean, that's worth
it. Doesn't make us look like heroes, does it?
By the way, it's free. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah, can page. I would, by the way, you can hear the narrative on that.
That's right.
There's a narrator. I would go to that. Go to the low voice one.
Yeah.
And it's very dramatic. He's very dramatic. Yeah. So check that out if you can.
I'll have to clip some of that and put it out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
We played it once.
Well, I know. Yeah.
We haven't gotten requests to play it again for some reason.
We'll get to that. Phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. We'll be back with more of John and Gordy for this Thursday morning. And also joining us in about 15 minutes, Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney at Law. We'll check out what's happening at the Supreme Court and other legal matters here on WMDX.
WMDX in Mad City. More lakes, more cheese, more fun.
This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. If you're having trouble with your hearing, do something about it. Talk with the good folks at Madison Hearing Aid Center. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road. Call them and make an appointment at 608-249-4077. You can take an initial hearing test online at madisonhearingaidcenter.com. Don't let your hearing loss frustrate you anymore. They help John and Gordy hear better, and they can help you too. Madison Hearing Aid Center.
What is a commercial? It's a message delivered to the people, in this instance through your radio speakers, into your ears. Why, it's like a movie for your brain. This radio commercial is directed to the business community. If you want to reach more customers, you should be using WMDX Radio. It's that simple. Just email sales@WMDXradio.com and let our crack sales team show you how to make your business grow with the number one medium known to humankind, the radio commercial on WMDX. Long may you wave.
This is Chad Spate. Are you thinking about improving your home? At Chad's Design Build, we're proud to offer remodeling done well with love. And our commitments to you and your home convey that love and spell our name. The Chad's experience is structured to provide excellent communication, honesty, accuracy, detailed proposals, and satisfied customers. We're also committed to making your home comfortable, healthy, attractive, durable, and sustainable. If you want a quality remodel and a quality remodeling experience, go to chadsdesignbuild.com to learn more.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Get monster savings during October at Verlo Mattress of Madison. Save hundreds off mattresses, platforms, bed frames, sheets, pillows, and plenty more. American made, locally crafted. Check out monster savings all month long at Verlo Mattress of Madison.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Michael McDonald, please
retire. Please.
I just want to curl up in the corner of the room.
He's back with the Doobie Brothers full time now.
Yeah,
they're on tour again.
Oh, my God. It can't be any one of the original Doobie Brothers. I hope not.
They've welcomed him back, and he's rejoined. He's with the new tour. It's 7:23, cloudy skies, some scattered showers today off and on, and highs in the mid-60s, right now 53 degrees. And don't forget, Madison Night Market, the last one of the season, takes place tonight. Begins at 5 o'clock, goes until 9 o'clock. So you might want to bring your umbrella just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, Michael McDonald appeared on every recorded song in history, and we're tired of his voice.
In the 70s.
We just can't stand it. And Dave Thomas on Second City TV did a great impression.
Oh, God, that was so funny.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to Cruella de Vil, or as I like to call her, Pam Bondi. anyway, she's come out. You know, she's coming out swinging against Antifa. She's going to take down that network and the funding for that network, which doesn't exist. It's never existed before, and now all of a sudden this – This is a Trump administration creation.
It's a high priority.
That they really have to take care of. So let's listen to Cut 138, and this is Pam Bondi going at Antifa.
Okay. Well, sure, and that's one of the things about Antifa. You've heard President Trump say multiple times, yes, they are organized, they are a criminal organization.
No, they're
and
not.
And they're very organized. You're seeing people out there with thousands of signs that all match, pre-bought, pre-put together. they're organized, and someone is funding it. Pre-bought. We're going to get to the funding of Antifa. We're going to get to the root of Antifa.
Could you find
and we are
that?
Going yes. to find and charge all of those people who are causing this chaos in Portland and all these other cities across our country. Talk to all the influencers who have been threatened and beat up and their lives threatened.
Oh my God.
From Antifa members. It's going to stop under Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, you know, we haven't been threatened by the right wing at all, right? I mean, we saw January 6th. That happened, as much as they like to deny it and just say it was just a vacation trip for most of them.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't. Now, you know, the big thing that hit the fan, I thought, more than anything, really exemplifies the future of the Republican Party. Now, we know that Charlie Kirk liked to go to those colleges and influence those young minds out there. We know that Scott Walker also does the same exact thing. They love the kids. Just to influence them, propaganda works real well on these young, moldable minds. Well, anyway, Political obtained months of exchanges from a Telegram conversation between the leaders and members of the Young Republican National Federation and some of its affiliates in New York, Kansas, Arizona, and Vermont. The chat included racist language, jokes about rape, and flippant commentary on gas chambers. So this is the direction of the Young Republican Party. We thought really? Gen Z, there was some kind of hope. Well, there's a section of that that isn't very hopeful. But you know what? J.D. Vance came out and had to say something about that. Obviously, you know,
he defended him.
Certainly doesn't like to have something like this happen on his watch, but yes, he did defend them. Let's listen to Cut 139. This is mind-boggling, if you can imagine. Just go for it. Let's listen.
By focusing on what kids are saying in a group chat, grow up. I'm sorry. Focus on the real issues. Don't focus on what kids say in group chats. But there's another angle to this that I just have to be honest about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like an old guy.
You're never
honest.
I'm
31 years old. I have three kids. You know, I grew up in a different world, right? Where not most of the stupid things that I did when I was a teenager and a young adult, they're not on the internet. Like, I'm going to tell my kids, especially my boys, don't put things on the internet. Like, be careful with what you post. If you put something in a group chat, assume that some scumbag is going to leak it in an effort to try to cause you harm or cause your family harm.
Scumbag.
But the reality is that kids do stupid things, especially young boys. They tell edgy, offensive jokes. Like, that's what kids do.
I really don't
want us to grow up in a country where a kid telling a stupid joke, telling a very offensive stupid joke, is cause to ruin their lives. And at some point, we're all going to have to say, enough of this BS. We're not going to allow the worst moment in a 21-year-old's group chat to ruin a kid's life for the rest of time. That's just not okay. Like, we live in a digital world. This stuff is now etched in stone online. We're all going to have to say, you know what? No. We're not doing this. We're not canceling kids because they do something stupid in a group chat. And if I have to be the person who carries that message forward, I'm fine with it.
Well, that is a fantastic message. Why don't we go back
President. Yeah.
Let's go back about a month where J.D. Vance said this. This is Cut 140. Cut 140. This is what J.D. Vance said about that. What he just talked
about.
So
when you see someone celebrating Charlie's murder, call them out in hell. Call their employer. We don't believe in political violence, but we do believe in civility.
And
there is no civility in the celebration of political assassination. Get involved.
But you just said, don't do that. These are just young kids, just saying things that they really, things will change.
Yeah.
These are not young kids, by the way. They're 18 to 40 years old, okay? Their minds are set. This is what they're talking about. Rape jokes, gas chambers, racist language. That's what it's all about. Let's go to Charles. Do we have time for Charles?
We got a minute here.
Can you do it quick, Charles? What do you got,
Charles? Yes, I will. Good morning, guys. Yep. You know, these I hate to say it, but these idiots like Pam Bondi, when she's talking about these signs that people are all getting to look alike. Yes. Did she ever look at a Trump rally?
I know,
and
right?
They tell on themselves. They're so stupid. They allow Trump to send them out there looking like idiots.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Charles.
Sorry,
Charles. We got to take a break here, but we'll be back with Jim Santel and get the latest on what's going on in our courts.
Yep, and the Midwest Food and Farm Report is next. Much more straight ahead.
WMDX Madison. Come for the cheese. Stay because your car won't start.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 92.7 WMDX. Farmers for Free Trade. It's not only a phrase, it's a movement. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. And yesterday, the Farmers for Free Trade RV rolled through Wisconsin. What were they looking for? What do they hope to accomplish? That's next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Brian Keel is the executive director of Farmers for Free Trade. They brought their RV to Westby, Wisconsin yesterday to find out what farmers had to say about free trade. He said that's really what this is all about.
Farmers for Free Trade got started in 2017, and it was a lot of the ag associations that came together to form Farmers for Free Trade. So the corn growers, milk producers, the pork producers, all decided what was needed was really a voice out in the heartland, right? That there's a lot of lobbyists in D.C. We didn't need more lobbyists. What we needed was an effort to really engage farmers and engage people on the ground talking about trade. Because trade is so important for U.S. agriculture. You know, 20% of our farm revenue comes from exports. So if we're not talking about trade, we're not talking about a really important part of farming.
Brian Keel, executive director of the Farmers for Free Trade in Westby, Wisconsin, yesterday. The Farmers for Free Trade mission started in Nebraska and will physically end in Washington, D.C., where they'll present farmer stories from across the heartland about how trade has impacted their farming operation.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. And the application period is now open for the 2026 Wisconsin Century and Sesquicentennial Farm and Home Awards. This prestigious award is presented to those families that have kept their farm in the family for 100 or 150 years. To qualified families are required to provide proof of continuous family ownership of the property in the state of Wisconsin for either the last 100 or 150 years. Want to see details? We'll get them up at MidwestFarmReport.com. There's your food news on a Thursday. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 92.7 WMDX.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few isolated showers around today, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid-60s. An isolated shower possible tonight, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the mid to upper 50s. Mostly cloudy, but warm for mid-October on Friday with highs in the mid-70s. Right now, 53 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please. Something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, I dive into the controversy over Stephen A. Smith's commentary about Jasmine Crockett. Can a sports commentator turn into a politician? I think not.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning. In just a few moments, we'll be talking to Jim Santel, Amicus, a law review. You can listen to that on Saturdays 9 to 11.
We've got cloudy skies out there this morning, 53 degrees currently, with a high in the mid-60s. Look for some spotty showers at times for today and into this evening. Let's go to Dick. He's been waiting on the line patiently. Good morning, Dick. What do you got for us?
Well, real quickly, to me, this is like Back to the Future, the movie, only the movie was pretty entertaining. Where this is, they're trying to take us back to pre-Civil War, from what I see of this.
Yeah.
In other words, once white people become the minority race, which is what they claim within 15 years or something like that, they want to make sure that, well, we're still in control of everything.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
good point.
That's
Thank
true.
You.
Thank and, you for that, you know, Paul. They keep, you know, quoting Martin Luther King Jr., you know, the not the color of their skin, but their character. Here's the thing that was aspirational. He wasn't declaring an end to all of that, which is what Republicans are claiming. Well, he just left that behind. No, it's aspirational. We're not there yet. We're way not there yet. And we're going to talk about all of that right now with Jim Santel, because the Supreme Court is taking this issue up about the Voting Rights Act. What do you got for us, Jim, the latest on this?
Morning, Jim.
Sure. So, good morning. Good to be with you, gentlemen, on a morning in the wake of another very concerning oral argument yesterday morning. This is among the about 30 or so cases before the Supreme Court on docket right now. Case for listeners, the name of the case is Kellais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S. And I mentioned that at the top because this could be one of those names that rings in American history for a long period of time. To put the headline out there and then talk about the details, this is one in which if the Supreme Court decides to swing broadly at this, this could be the third strike to bring the Voting Rights Act of 1965 to its knees. There's a portion of it called Section 2. It's the key provision. Basically says we do not discriminate in voting. We do not engage in bias or prohibitions in voting. People of color, people of language, no poll taxes, no literacy taxes, all the things that otherwise would stop people from voting. And so that's the basic notion. 60 years of tradition under this, enforcing that, ensuring that people of color, all people have access to the franchise. And we have in Louisiana, as we have in Wisconsin, in every state in the wake of the 2020 census, got line drawing for congressional seats. Initially, the legislature draws one majority black district there out of about 30% of the population. Long history here. One of the courts comes back and says, well, in a Voting Rights Act, you need to have two majority black districts. The legislature does that. That gets challenged then. That is having two majority black districts in Louisiana by a group that describes themselves as non-African Americans. And
wow.
They say that by doing that, you're violating the 14th and 15th Amendments, voting and equal protection. And basically, they're setting up a dispute, if you will, between the prohibitions, the guarantees of the Voting Rights Act and the Constitution, whether or not the Voting Rights Act for all these years has been unconstitutional and therefore needs to be stricken down. It's Supreme Court can do a number of different things. They can make a very narrow decision on whether or not these two districts are properly drawn. They can send it back to the legislature to do more work on it, all kinds of things. Or, and this is the specter, I think that's the reason why, gentlemen, you and your listeners want to talk about it this morning, is things said during the oral argument that indicate that the Supreme Court may well be going big on this. And by that, I don't mean good on this. Mm-hmm. I simply mean that this might be the third strike. A couple of previous cases that impinged the capacity to invoke the Voting Rights Act. This might be the third one. Maybe we'll find out in June, finding that Section 2 is unconstitutional. If it is, it basically means that the notion of doing redistricting and line drawing based upon race to ensure that all people, including people of color, have access to the polls, that will no longer be a mandate and that will no longer be required, opening up the door to wild, candidly, or unfettered drawing of lines, maybe even based on race, to ensure that people are not given the franchise in the way that they should.
Being represented.
Tremendously important issue. We'll find out in June.
Well, this is kind of one of the most scary moments in our country at this point, simply because not only does it affect, you know, minority voting, but it also affects how many people are in the Congress.
Right?
Absolutely. And what that Congress looks like in particular, because if indeed you can go ahead and you can draw lines in a way that are intended to disenfranchise, and by that I mean basically make it impossible for people of color to send people to Congress who are also of color, also of their views in terms of representation. If you do that, then you can draw lines that will establish a variety of white majority populations, and you're reducing the numbers. You're also politicizing this. There's a whole another aspect of this related to political gerrymandering, and that's wound up in this as well in ways that the argument yesterday revealed. The upshot is gives a lot of legislators around the country the capacity to redraw lines in ways that disenfranchise and also ensure that frankly, Republicans have a much stronger majority than what when they have right now.
All right. Yeah. The estimates are around 14 to 17 more Republicans could go to Congress simply by redrawing the lines and getting rid of the Voting Rights Act, right?
Right, exactly. And the other aspect of this that I think all your listeners, you know about this already, but we've got Brett Kavanaugh, who has, again, gone on, he's been out front on this, as has the Chief Justice and others, and basically seizing on what the Chief Justice has said in a long prior case called Shelby County. That was the one in which they said preclearance provisions are no longer part of the Voting Rights Act, and bemoaning the fact that it's been a long time. He says 60 years. He says, you know, we've had a lot of court cases, many contexts. Race-based remedies are permissible for a period of time, sometimes long periods, but they should not be indefinite, and they should have an end. And he asks yesterday, what exactly do you think the end point should be, or how we would know for the intentional use of race to create districts? Basically, he's saying 60 years is enough, and we've had enough focus on race when it comes to these kinds of issues. Need to bring it to an end and move on. That is a stunning thing for the Supreme Court justice to say.
This is a grown-up. I mean, you know, I can see somebody who doesn't have a clue, maybe a young person, 18, 19 years old, would ask that question. He's a grown-up. He understands the situation. When there are a lot of court cases going to the Supreme Court in regards to just this whole effort, it's still an issue. It's still out there. He can't make that kind of statement. It's not true, right?
Right. And yet we've seen it. We talked about on this show not too long ago. This is a continuing theme of this Supreme Court. Recall the case involving the universities and the options that universities used to have in considering race among one of many considerations for the entrance of people into their college classes. Right. And we know well that both in the private and the public sector, the Supreme Court has said that you cannot use race when it comes to populating your incoming class. You can do it maybe subtly through some statements that applicants may make, but you can't do that. Again, why? Because, well, we're beyond that now, and we should just be looking. And again, to your very good point, John, at the outset here, talking about invoking Dr. Martin Luther King, quality of your character. Let's look at that. Let's not look at skin color anymore. This is a continuing theme, and it is one that, again, your listeners should know about. Hold on, come June. This is, I think, going to be the most significant opinion of this term. And I don't think it's hyperbole to say, although it's all of them are in the running right now for the most important in recent years. This can change dramatically the way in which America lives and works and breathes.
Okay. We're talking with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. What about this case in California? A federal judge in California is, he's halted plans. They've halted plans of layoffs of federal workers during the government shutdown. What about this case, Jim?
Right. So this is Susan Ilston, as you know, your listeners know, Dom knows that I like to identify judges who are doing good things out there, right? Yeah. So this is a district court judge. Her name is Susan Ilston, I-L-L-S-T-O-N, and she's got before her a challenge from some unions and to this notion that the president's going to lay off about 4,100 federal workers during the government shutdown. And along the way, she is entertaining argument from them about the effects of this. And she is saying basically that we're mixing not apples and oranges, my words, not hers. But she says, you know, a government shutdown basically means we don't have a budget. And to the extent that the government is still working today, it's on fumes. We've got accepted employees. We've got employees who are in these special categories. At some point, the checks are going to stop coming fairly soon. But she says the notion of firing people is apart from this notion of a shutdown, which is about budget. And she says that the administration, these are her words, has taken advantage of the lapse in government spending, in government functioning, to assume that all bets are off and the laws don't apply to them anymore. She says that plan layoffs are impermissible because they are, here we go again, politically motivated, pointed to some statements during the course of this evidentiary hearing by the president himself, that officials then, and he, White House, targeting what he calls, and once again, he uses the word Democrat, not Democratic, but Democrat targeting programs and agencies favored by Democrats. She says the politics that infuses what's going on is being trumpeted out loud in this case. That's impermissible. That's the motive for laying off 4,100 federal workers. And she enters what's called a preliminary injunction, temporary restraining order. It's in effect, bars the administration from now, from moving ahead with these layoffs from members of the unions who appeared in front of her that sued under their case. Is this going to go up to the Court of Appeals? Yes, it will. The Ninth Circuit probably will affirm her. Maybe eventually goes up to the Supreme Court. This could be another emergency docket, another shadow docket case. We don't know. But at least as of today, as of this morning, as of yesterday in California, can't lay off, again, based upon what the judge has said, can't proceed with the president's plan to lay off workers because of this. I get it. It's somewhat related. But because you don't have a budget, there's not a budget for anybody. Right. Even people are getting paid right now.
Right.
That's borrowed money, if you will. There's, you know, that you've heard me be outraged about this in the past. Yeah. I've said on this show, do your job, Congress. That's the least thing we can expect all of them to do, Democrats and Republicans. We don't have a budget right now for the most important, biggest country on the face of the planet, which is stunning. It is stunning, but it also doesn't mean you lay off people who would otherwise be funded if you did your job. And that's the difference that she's calling to our attention.
All right, Jim, I got a few more questions to ask you. So hang on. We got to take a break right here.
We will continue with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel in just a moment on John and Gordy, WMDX.
join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center, 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison, helping people change their lives by improving their hearing. They offer fast and flexible appointments with individualized care. Go to MadisonHearingAidCenter.com and take a free hearing test online. They help John Peterson, they help me, and they can help you too. Call them at 608-249-4077. Don't let hearing loss frustrate you anymore. Go to MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
Is your computer so slow you can hardly use it? Does it have blue screens, malware, viruses, reboots, hardware crashes? Sound familiar? Computers will have problems, and when they do, you need the computer experts at Madison Computer Works. Every day, we help home users and businesses keep their computers and networks running smoothly. For solutions to your computer problems, call the pros at 231-8000, and we'll turn this into this. Madison Computer Works. Computers that work for you.
Looking to grow a career? David J. Frank Landscaping is hiring. Enjoy competitive wages, opportunities for professional growth, and a supportive team environment. No experience necessary. Yes, David J. Frank provides paid training. Enjoy the benefits of working at one of the top green industry companies in the country. If you're just looking to make some money on the side, David J. Frank is also hiring for snow removal. Call 608-283-9276 or visit davidjfrank.com/jobs and see if this is the team for you.
State Street strolls, lakeside bike rides, and conversations that go late into the night. That's Madison. And that's what you'll hear on 92.7 WMDX. Real voices, real news, real connection. Because this city isn't just where we broadcast, it's where we live. WMDX. Made in Madison, for Madison.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. You think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
You'll find monster savings during October at Verlo Mattress of Madison. Save on adjustable bases, now 30 to 50% off. Prepare for a sleep sanctuary like no other with their amazing accessory offers. Verlo Mattress of Madison.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
John and Gordy in the morning. Dom at the controls, and we've got Jim Santel coming up in just a few moments. Just a reminder, we have the No Kings protest coming up this weekend, and the John and Gordy nude skateboard protest will take place at the same time. So
look for us up around the square. We'll be moving very quickly.
Yeah. Behind one bush or another bush, sure. But we won't be visible to too many people. All right. I don't know why I said that. All right. Well, anyway, getting back to the issues at hand here, yeah. We were talking last break about the Voting Rights Act and how this could add 14, 15, 16, 17 new Republicans to Congress. But also, they, of course, are redoing their districts within a 10-year period, which I think seems like it's unconstitutional. I'm asking you, Jim, is it constitutional, or how are they able to get away with drawing new border lines within a 10-year period? The Constitution is pretty clear on this, isn't it?
Right. So what the Constitution says is James Madison's stuff and contemplated that. Absolutely. and said that every 10 years we're going to take a nationwide census. And the idea was we're going to redraw lines in the wake of that. The what has happened here is there's an anticipation that after that period of time, states, including Wisconsin, will do that fairly expeditiously. The new thing that you're bemoaning this morning appropriately is that now we no longer have those kinds of deadlines and those patterns, because now we've got things in Texas, for example, maybe California, where, again, mid-decade, we're now revisiting that. There's nothing necessarily unconstitutional about it, but it's not what was contemplated. The idea is put things in place for 10 years, give people some solidity about what those districts look like, and then do it again in 10 years. The problem that you're identifying here is when we do it right now, whether in the wake of this Calais case in the coming years, or if we're doing this based upon what Texas is doing, California, other states, Missouri, Indiana, maybe, what you're doing then is you're sort of upsetting that pattern that was the constitutional design to get these things in place, provide certainty about what the future brings. And again, like everything else, kind of all bets are off. And you file lawsuits now, we go down this road, and we've got disruption in the certainty of what these districts look like.
Right. And so it could add maybe 25 to 30 new Republicans to Congress, kind of stealing the vote away from everybody else in this country just by gerrymandering and the Voting Rights Act.
Right.
Now, here's a question I want to ask you.
Again, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Now I want to ask you about this. What we're seeing here is a dramatic difference between the federal courts, all the state courts, and the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody going to point that out ever? That they seem to have a different, completely different interpretation of law and an agenda as opposed to all the federal courts, all the state courts, and the Supreme Courts of every other state. There seems to be, they're on a different page.
There certainly are different, again, processes and different jurisdictions. You're absolutely right. The positive way to look at that is to say, you know, we've got this idea called federalism that contemplates that we would have different systems out there. The concern that I think you're underscoring once again is consistency in basic principles. There's a thing called the Supremacy Clause that says that the federal government, the laws that the federal government passes in our federal system, they're still the ones that take precedence over the state, but the states also have obligations. And the result of this is that we do get state court judges, we get appeals court judges at the state court level that are issuing orders that are not always consistent with what's going on in the federal courts. The idea of our Constitution is that ultimately the Supreme Court would resolve all of these disputes. That, again, is problematic at a time when the Supreme Court, from my perspective, and I suspect of many of your listeners, is pursuing things from a very jaded perspective. That is, giving the president huge amounts of power and otherwise doing things, Voting Rights Act otherwise, that are contrary to the best interests of the nation and the states. That's the very convoluted, wonky, lots going on there kind of a response to that.
You know, I think a lot of people should pay more attention to what the federal courts are saying, their decisions, because they're actually making the argument. They're looking at the Constitution. They're the ones explaining why they have decided what they're deciding. Right. And when we have a docket that doesn't have to explain anything, something is terribly wrong with this system, at least at the Supreme Court level.
Right. And I think that's really the point here this morning and always. It's once again, it's the shadow docket. You've got wonderful federal judges, including Susan Ilston. We've talked about others, both in Chicago, Portland, who are doing the good work, and yes, appeals courts, Ninth Circuit, Seventh Circuit, others doing the right work here. It gets to the Supreme Court, and we get one sentence orders without explanation, without oral argument of the sort that we talked about just a few moments ago, and changing the ways in which the government works, the country works, without explanation. And it gets fascinating that the lower court judges are the ones who should be, regardless of how you feel about their decisions, they're the ones who are writing the orders that explain what they're doing. The Supreme Court is not.
Yeah.
And that's the concern. That's the profound concern.
Well, they obviously have a difficult time trying to justify their decisions. That's for sure.
Well, Jim, we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Yeah, I wish there was a positive message.
And, yeah, right. And it's voting. It's voting in a little more than a year from now, right? You can change things. Congress can be changed. That's an important thing to do.
All right, Jim.
Good to be with you, gentlemen.
Yep.
Thank you, Jim. You can check out Jim's excellent program, Amicus, a Law Review, every Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's going to do it for us for today. Tomorrow, we have Rocker in the studio with the Max Inc. preview. Lots of great local music and Savannah Tomei Olson.
And we got a ton of stories we just never get to, and we'll have those tomorrow as well. Kind of a dumpster fire Friday.
Oh, that's right. And you got a show out for the night market.
Madison Night Market tonight, 5 to 9. Have a great day. So long.
It's the John Gordy Show.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. We can talk about health care after the government reopens. That from Senate Majority Leader John Thune telling MSNBC he has offered Democrats a vote on extending Obamacare subsidies. But he continues to insist that the government must be reopened before those conversations can happen. As immigration raids continue, some police departments are taking money to partner with ICE. But not in Dallas.
We were offered $25 million to be a part of 287G.
Says Dallas Police Chief Daniel Como.
And we said absolutely no. Turned it down.
184 agencies in Texas and the state DPS itself have said yes.
ABC's Jim Ryan. In Chicago, immigration agents have demanded passports and visas from legal residents.